I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear ladies, welcome back to a new episode of Muslim Lady. This is Asma. Once more, I have the honor to be here with you, Muslim ladies from different parts of the world. I hope life is treating you well. And wherever you are, you're just healthy and pretty good in the mood. So, like always, we have Sister Zainab with us. Assalamu alaikum, sister, and welcome.
Walaikum assalam. Thank you for having me.
Without me telling you, I think you need to introduce yourself.
All right. So I am Tarfatlan Zainab Askari, basically from Indian Administrative Kashmir, and I have studied science, linguistics, and Hausa. I also have been writing for a couple of years now.
Thank you very much. So we share this part just for those who have joined us today. But aside from that, Sister Zainab is already known in here, and we've been using her insights for so many episodes in Muslim Lady. So previously in Muslim Lady, we've been discussing how to navigate in-laws, the dynamics that are there, but you have to be very careful about it, how to manage the in-laws relationship, because dealing with your husband is just part of the story. The other part, which sometimes tends to be larger than the first part, is the relationship with the in-laws, which sounds a bit challenging.
Yeah,
at least for some people.
Yeah. So unfortunately, we get into the families with certain,
perceptions,
mindsets, and
probably wrong notions,
prejudice. Yeah, that exists there. That should be kept aside. So, and we should be very respectful, that we have been discussing in the previous episode as well. That because, you know, people receive your boundaries when you want to set boundaries even with them. They will receive that more openly when you are consistently, appreciative. You are a person of respect. You are a person of good character. You greet warmly. You remember important occasions. You speak well of family members, and you show gratitude for kindness, any kind of kindness you see. Otherwise, like we have been taught through serials, through movies, through that prejudice that, even their kindness is something that must be having, that must be, it involves some kind of poison in it. No. So, we should be appreciative, and these actions will actually create that emotional trust. And it will make...
Hopefully.
Yeah.
That would create the emotional trust, hopefully.
Yes. So, as we are talking of respect since previous episode as well, I want to make one thing very clear. You have to separate respect from availability.
Explain more.
Yes. So, you should know that respect and affection, it's all... measured with being sincere, then constant accessibility. It's not necessary that you make yourself constantly available to your in-laws, and
in
that's
order
how
to
you,
show respect.
Yes, in order to show that you're a good daughter-in-law.
You can be respectful, but at the same time, not available all
yes,
the time.
Yes, unfortunately, this is so much in our culture, like to be available for the in-laws, and that's equal to respect, and that's. We need to create a barrier between that. Respect is something else, and being available is something else constantly. I remember my elder sister coming to Ziyarah recently, and I know, like when we were talking, taking her to shopping malls, different places, we were showing her this, that, she was lost. She was all lost. So when we came back home, but her husband enjoyed. So I was like to... her husband, I told her, brother, you enjoyed like the way we wanted you guys to enjoy. But why was she lost? And then I spoke to her, what's wrong with you? And she was constantly thinking of her in-laws who were not even here, who were in another country. You know, how would I...
Her mind was there.
Mind was there because, you know, making yourself so much available and at the service, and I don't know who will cook for her, who will stand, who will do this, who will do the dishes.
You become the mother.
Come on, you're on ziyara. You just have taken 10 days of gap from life. Just take this gap. But, like, it was so difficult. I don't think, like, at the end, even, like, we could convince her to spend more time here or, you know, just do this. Yeah. So it's basically, you know, when you're unable to separate being available from respect.
You think, and just, then you create this attachment, which becomes very problematic.
Yeah. So, well, this is for the families, you know, who like us, who live together with the...
Joint family.
Yeah. But other families, like nuclear families, they can express the same kind of respect. Like, okay, when you're not available, you tell that respectfully. But when you're available also, you have to tell, like, invite. You know, express a desire to strengthen those relationships. Yeah.
And you, by the way, this also creates this passion and this longing for meeting one another.
Yes,
like indeed. You will miss one another. This process of missing is important.
Indeed.
You must miss someone to feel for them.
Right. And, you know, Imam Baqir Alayhissalam says, observing ties of kinship leads to good manners, generosity, purity of soul, increase of daily bread, and delay of death. See how many benefits you have if you're just maintaining those ties, helping maintain those ties. So just create a routine that helps, you know, stay connected with everyone. Then I would say try to speak clearly but with gentleness. I mean, the clear communication, whenever it's clear, it removes that uncertainty. For example, you can say, if they are inviting and you are unavailable, you can say, we already have plans for this week, but we can come on this day. So, you know, show that, like, show your boundaries, show also your desire to meet. You say, we would love to come next week, mm-hmm. or, you know, thank you for thinking about us, that gratitude and all. And I would say, you know, we have this phrase in Kashmiri where we say that when two vessels are together, or when vessels are put together in a kitchen, they do strike and they do create a noise. So in every family, we know there are some kind of conflicts, especially when you're dealing with the in-laws.
In-laws.
Yeah. And if you see a rude behavior, I would say do not answer rudeness with rudeness.
Now this one is difficult a bit.
Yeah, because we take our guidance from Holy Quran. Surah mm-hmm. Furqan says that the true servants of the most compassionate are those who walk on earth humbly, and who, when foolish address them improperly, they only respond with peace. Right? So this is a Quranic guidance. We are not just...
But practicing it is way too difficult.
Yeah, that's why...
Like, because in some families, the newlywed bride gets to go to the in-laws, and then there she meets some sign of disrespect. Not indirectly.
You know,
directly.
Quran is calling them foolish. Quran is saying when foolish addresses you improperly, you address with peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have this famous dialogue of Mahatma Gandhi, if you remember, the father of India. He says that if someone slaps you on one side of your face, you should
offer him the other cheek.
And then there was this very funny part in a movie clip in which the person offers the other side, remembering the Gandhi advice, and the foolish person again slaps on the other side as well, and the person starts saying, Gandhi only taught once, like, if someone slaps you on one side, you offer another. He never said if someone slaps on both the sides, what to do. So exactly, this is where your, that, you know, self-esteem thing crosses. So when that crosses, we're not saying to be more humble. You can just leave the environment. You can just, you
don't
know,
answer back. Just leave.
Yes. Rudeness should never be answered with rudeness, because that's never going to solve things. And, you know, also in Surah Hujarat, we have, oh, believers, do not ridicule. Let some men not ridicule some men. They may be better than you. Right? Or some women not ridicule other women. They may be better than you. And then Allah says, do not defame one another, nor call each other with nicknames. which is very common in in-law families, and they remember their daughter-in-laws through nicknames, and that's so bad.
Yeah, nicknames are good. Sometimes pet names.
Yeah, very weird kind of names,
very
you
know? Very weird kind of showing passion.
Well, I won't call it a nickname, but my mother-in-law had a habit, and I conveyed it to her, and I conveyed it to her through my husband. She would tell him, like, I live in a part of Kashmir, which is called, this is very interesting, though, what is the name of the place where I live? The name of the place where I live is called Khomeini Square, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because we live at a square, like near the square, and it's called Khomeini Square.
Nice.
Yeah. So she would often tell my husband, where is she? And he would tell who? And she would tell the same from Khomeini Square.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So then I told her, if it's very difficult for you to pronounce my name, you can give me another name, but do not call me by the name of my locality.
Yeah, by the name of the region I come from.
Yeah. So, well, it was not disrespectful for her. It was common in their culture because I saw many people from her area calling people the same way.
Okay.
But then I conveyed to her, it's a bit disrespectful for us. So I have a name. You should call me with my name.
And you suggest the mediator, the one who's going to convey to her to be the
maybe
husband?
Maybe in a more respectful manner, because sometimes, you know, you feel like, okay, maybe I'm hurt right now and I may not be able to convey in a better tone, but maybe he will convey in a better tone. So I told him, could you please convey, like, I have a name and this is disrespectful in our culture to call like that.
Yeah, I have a name.
I have a name. Although the name of our region is very nice one. So I won't call it call him with nicknames and all, but this is also, again, you know, one of the things.
So
that be...
don't answer back the rudeness with rudeness.
Yeah.
And then once you feel the disrespect, first thing you can do is to just convey your point.
Yeah.
If you cannot do it by yourself because probably your intonation is going to be different or probably you're not going to be very much in manners, you can use the another person, a mediator, someone who could interfere, like your husband, for example.
Or convey in a better way.
Or in a yeah. Or probably maybe her daughter also could work as well if you're close and you have some close ties together.
Well, I tried this one here because I think my husband was grown up in Iran and he knew but much better how to respect parents. But if you use the same husband as mediator in your in our culture, for example, that will work worse because that way boys usually are used to convey things in a very direct way.
Yeah.
And when they say like, mom, what's wrong with you? Why can't you call her with a name? And then the mother-in-law, instead of getting your message, she would feel like now she's filling the ears of my son, right?
Yeah.
So you have to be very careful choosing the mediator. Yeah. I chose my husband as a mediator because I have never seen any person so respectful towards parents as him. And I think I can never reach that level. So even with my parents... So, yeah, that's why I used him as mediator. So you have to be very careful while using a mediator.
Yeah, because this process of mediator, the concept of mediator is very delicate.
Yeah.
And sometimes problematic. So be careful about the one you choose as the one who's going to share your points.
Right. So another point I will try to tell you, like sometimes some things happen that make you really upset at the moment and, you know, trigger a reaction. So you have a long view of things.
Okay, and I think we need to keep this part for the future episode.
So, you know, remember before reacting that families are lifelong relationships and this reaction of mine should not have a bad impact.
You should just consider what type of feedback you're going to show, what kind of response you're going to give, and be careful about that because relationships are lifelong, so take care of your responses. So thank you, Sister Zainab, and thank you, dear ladies. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Time is always not enough, but still we have some other episodes to come. So if you care to hear more of Muslim Lady, please stay tuned. Until another episode, take care of yourself. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. But this waiting comes with trials and challenges.